Welcome to the Building with Metal podcast, presented by McElroy Metal. Whether you're a contractor, architect, designer, or building owner, we're here to help you build better with metal roofing and siding products.
Hello, thanks for joining the show. I'm your host, Kathy Miller, and today we're thrilled to be joined by Jason Habeck and Dan Ulmer from Fox City Builders. Welcome to the show, guys.
Appreciate you having us. Thanks, Kathy.
Of course. So start us off by telling us a little bit about Fox City Builders, what you do, where you're located, all the good stuff.
Yeah, so we're located right in Seymour, Wisconsin, servicing all over Wisconsin, throughout the state of Wisconsin. We've had a couple projects that have crossed over the border in Minnesota and Iowa. But for us, it's really a small company that can really service a lot of big clients. You get that that small company feel when you work with us, but we can tackle some very large projects throughout the state. So,
yeah, and we work in agricultural and commercial building industries. So a ton in ag and a fair amount in commercial. Widespread, a lot of versatility there. Been in business, we're coming up on 25 years, so been around for a long enough time. We're kind of in that sweet spot of growth where you've laid some foundation and really starting to spread our wings at this point.
Awesome. So let's talk a little bit about, you said you're in agriculture. What segments are you in? Grain production, animal confinement, all of it?
Yeah, on the egg side, we do all a wide range of buildings. You've got your animal confinement type building. I guess there's different types of it. You've got robot barns. You've got large freestall barns just to house animals. You've got young stock barns, calves, heifers, all of that. Steer barns. And then besides that, there's still commodity type buildings just for the feeds and storages, sheds, shops, just anything agriculture related. There's a lot of demand, a lot of needs. So we try and service all of them.
What I enjoy about it is that nothing out of everything that Dan explained there is cookie cutter at this point. Everything is unique to that specific customer. That process is just, is really fun to go through with each and, every customer that contacts us to have us go out and partner with them. You know, everything from larger rotary parlor projects, milking facilities to, you know, something as simple like Dan said, a shop shed. So, you know, our goal is to honestly do what's best for the customer, align our core values with the customer's vision, and really try to hone in on their process and achieve their goals and objectives.
You know, I think that's a really interesting point. I think it would be really boring to go build a 40 by 40 cookie cutter every day, right? Same overhead doors, same walk doors, same windows. So yeah, you guys are pretty lucky that you're with a company that you're able to do that. So, you know, you mentioned a minute ago robot barns. Now I hadn't planned to go down this path, but I'm absolutely intrigued. What is a robot barn?
They're robots that milk the animal. So it's basically a box robot inside the pen. There's a couple different philosophies. A couple different types of robots out there in the market. We've built robot barns for all different types of robots, but really, you have a pen of animals that are milking. They commit to getting milked and they come into this robot, whether it's a free flow, situation where the animal can come in and go as they please, or a guided flow, situation where an animal has to come into the robot, get milk before they have access to feed again. So there's a lot of different types of robot projects, but really, yeah, robot barn is really taking a box robot, and having that animal go up there and really milk out themselves and then go back to the, back to their pen.
Yeah, it reduces the human element of it. So each of these robots can milk 60, 65 animals, and the cow can go to it as she pleases. So it ends up being a very leisurely environment for them. And there's also auto feeders as well for calves, where that'll automatically dispense milk to an animal as it comes up to it. So there's just a lot of new technologies that have come into the agricultural sector. You know, you speak about things changing and evolving and always having things that aren't cookie cutter, new challenges. And that's a big part of it is the technologies that are coming into the industry and us adjusting and adapting and building to suit the new technologies.
Yeah, it's ever changing in this segment right now. And, from when I was working on a dairy farm back in high school, where we had an old herringbone parlor, and that was the coolest thing at that point. So things have changed immensely over the course of the last 25 years in the dairy industry and in Wisconsin. And that's what makes the process of helping these farmers, these customers find their vision, is working through some of those challenges and how we create good cow movement through the barn, a good environment, efficiencies for management, just helping them, you know, explore everything to ensure that they're getting the most bang out of their buck.
Yeah, finding what works best for the people and the animals.
Yep.
Yeah, that's fascinating. So I grew up on a grain operation, a farm, and we still farm. And to your point, the methods my parents used are just not even on the farm anymore, right? I mean, everything has changed, and it is amazing. But I hadn't really ever considered the idea of robots from a milking standpoint. So that's pretty cool. Okay. So let's go ahead and talk. You talked a little bit about your markets and your history and stuff. Let's talk a little bit about what separates Fox City Builders from your competitors.
For myself, and Dan can give his two cents as well, but for myself, it's really aligning our process with the customer's vision. When I go out there and meet with the customer, I always like to find out where they've been, what the history of the farm is, where they are now, and where they're going, because that plays a huge role in how we set up their facility and what conversations we have moving forward. So I think it's really, for me, what sets us apart is really aligning that process, seeing that road to completion with the customer's vision and helping them find that vision as well. Sometimes they're coming to us, they're reaching out to Dan and saying, hey, listen, I want a robot barn, but I don't know what it's going to look like yet. That's when it becomes real fun, for us, because then we get to go out, we get to tour, and we get to really create and sculpt that vision with them on what their farm's going to look like in the near future when the facility is completed, and even down the road, 10, 15, 20 years, and how their growth pattern is going to work. It's just a lot of fun. And I think that's what to me sets us apart. And I also, think it's our attention to detail, making sure that, you know, we're looking at every different element, through the process. We have multiple planning meetings. With that, we're looking at, you know, walking through that barn on paper with that customer and going through, every gate and, every piece that, needs to be discussed, so they know exactly what they're getting. Construction is not a perfect science by any means, but we try to do our best to, get them to that point where they're really comfortable with the building.
Yeah, I would echo all of that. It's just a company. We have real people down to earth, just honest, straightforward conversations. We always say what separates us is when those challenges come up, how we handle them, how we work through those with the customers, because inevitably in construction, you're going to have challenges.
That's exactly right. We always say it is a messy business, right?
So,
but it's great to have good partners and as you say, you know, very transparent conversations and ways to figure out solutions.
But it's all about what Dan's talking about, is building that trust with our customer. You know, our owner, Phil Homer here, always says we're on a job interview. Every job that we're on a job interview. So for us, it's creating those partnerships and those long lasting partnerships. And that's how you build a business, from the ground up. And they've done a phenomenal job, Travis, Phil, and Jay, building this company through creating those partnerships. And you build it through trust. And, you know, when you get that trust, is having those tough conversations and not running away from it. We just read a book here, not too long ago. It's, you know, you can either be the person that runs into the storm or try to be the person that runs away from the storm. The storm eventually catches up with you. But in the reality of it, when that storm catches up to you, it's a bigger storm. So with that analogy, we like to run into the storm, have those conversations, and figure out solutions to challenges, because you are going to have challenges throughout any project. It's how you handle those certain situations is what really sets you apart and creates that trust and creates those long-lasting partnerships.
Yeah, and for me, the longer I've been doing this, the more I actually really enjoy the people, the customers, getting to know them, having real relationships with them has become bigger and bigger. It's it's what keeps me going.
Their farm people are just good people, right?
Yes.
They are good people, yeah. And their success is our success, right? We're putting our name on their facility. They're taking a chance on us to build them that facility. So it's a mutual respect and a mutual success then, which I really like, and we can share in that. And that's how what Dan was saying, you really create long lasting, real relationships with people. And that's, again, part of what sets us apart, but that's what's part of being, the biggest part of the fun aspect of this job as well is seeing it come from paper to fruition. And walking through that facility with your customer and them ready to get after it, even months after, when you check in with them and talk through, how they're managing the new facility, and what their challenges are. And it's just great that back and forth and you create really good long lasting relationships where you care about people. And that's the big thing.
That's fabulous. And I'm assuming you have a fairly good repeat business stream as well, but just based on some of what I'm hearing here, it seems like.
For sure.
Yeah. So, you know, let's talk a minute about labor. I hadn't really planned to talk about labor, but it's an issue for everybody, right? So how do you guys handle that at Fox City Builders? Is it tough to find guys to work in the field? Do you have a lot of turnover? And how are you trying to embrace some of those challenges?
I think it really starts with culture, right? Culture of a company. I've been here for 3 years. And one thing I can say about Fox City's Builders is, it's a time in our lives right now, where people seem to jump careers fairly quickly. And that does create a challenge. However, I do feel like you keep people, with the type of culture you create. I can just speak for myself. I enjoy the heck out of everybody I work with here at Fox City's Builders. And that's not Dan giving me $20 to say that on this podcast. But I enjoy the heck out of everybody. And when you enjoy and create those, again, you have external, internal relationships. We talked about external relationships for a bit. And you talk about internal relationships. Those, everybody that you work with on a project, our own superintendents, our estimators, our drafters. When you can create that relationship, when you can create that culture, I think you keep folks wanting to come back. And that's a big part of why each and every day I come back is the people, because we collaborate here. And it's not just the salesperson selling that project. It is the entire team collaborating to bring the project into Fox City's Builders. And I think that's a real key. Not only sets us apart, but keeps everybody coming back to work each and every day.
Yeah, it's the collaboration. Everybody working together and having each other's back is a huge thing. You really got to understand that none of this can be done by one department, one person. Everything continues. And if you work as a team, you get that good, or you have that good culture and you end up with just, yeah, sharing in those victories and celebrations and try and make it as enjoyable as possible. Obviously have turnover. You've got your challenges, but just trying to do the best that we can and making it working out in the field. You've got the good and the bad of it, right? So days like, as we're coming to the fall, September, October, you want to be out there, but yeah. Then it quickly turns to January and you don't want to be out there.
And no one wants to be out there.
We all need to understand the good and the bad that comes with each position and with each season. So.
Absolutely. Well, it sounds like you guys have something pretty special there as far as the culture goes. So kudos to you guys and to the leadership. You know, Jason, a minute ago, you mentioned a book you guys just read. What's the title of that book? I'd love to check it out.
So as part of our sales training, each quarter, we pick a book. One was Extreme Ownership, which was an amazing book that we read. And that falls true. And that's where that quote came from, Extreme Ownership. Each and every project that comes through the doors here at Fox City's Builders, we preach ownership. You know, if you own your project, you're going to care more. And again, it goes back to that care and trust and building those relationships. And collaboration. Again, there are challenges that come up with every project. And if a general contractor tells you otherwise, I think they're kind of lying for themselves a bit.
Yeah.
But, so we created this, quarterly, training, piece where we read and then we try to implement it to keep us, moving forward and to try to set us apart. But, part of that, yeah, that Extreme Ownership book where that quote came from, it was a really good book and it really it really stays true to what we do. And again, running into the storm instead of running away from the storm is running into those challenges. And so it's important for us, to continue to grow as not only a company as we grow, but as, professionals as well. So.
Absolutely.
Yeah, for everybody, I think you can gain a lot by actually owning everything that's put in front of you. If you own it and you take the care and seeing it through and kind of babysitting it, you have a much larger amount of joy on the backside.
Yeah. I was going to say, not only success, but joy, right? You're vested. You've got skin in the game and how much fun it
exactly.
is.
Exactly. Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's a great way to put it, Kathy.
So let's shift gears a little bit. I'm going to talk about one of your recent projects.
We completed a project, in May, up in Ladysmith, Wisconsin, really up by Exlin, Passanen Farms is the farm that we worked at. A farm that, by any stretch of the imagination, put themselves the last 28 years to the position to build a larger rotary facility with the potential for expansion to, take that rotary parlor and max it out. A really, really awesome family. Got a chance to go through the process. It took about a year and a half to go through the process, touring, different farms, going through the planning process. But, again, as part of what we talked about earlier with creating those relationship trust and going through the process and helping them create that vision. It took us about a year and a half to create that vision, but we got there and it's been a really, really nice project for us and they're extremely happy with it.
Okay. So I'm not familiar very much with cattle. And then maybe our listeners aren't either. What is a rotary parlor and how is it different from another parlor?
The animals, they come into milk on a carousel. So they come through a holding area. So it's almost like a, for lack of a better term, like a batch milking where you have groups of animals that come into a holding area facility. So basically those animals come from their pens where they have their stalls, water and food. They get pushed up into this holding area. From there, they get pushed onto this carousel one by one. They take a trip right around this carousel. And while they're doing that, they're getting milked. By the time they get back around, there's an exit lane there. They are fully milked. They come out of that exit lane and then they go into their return lane. This return lane, really you have a bunch of different options with that, which is really cool because you have that animal captured and there's a lot of different, management aspects in regards to herd health, that you can do right off of that wheel. So as they're coming off that wheel to that return lane, you can sort that animal off and do your herd checks as well with it before they go back into their pen. So it's really creating that aspect of bringing a batch of animals or a group of animals up, milking them in a very efficient way, a little bit more efficient than a traditional parallel parlor where you have to have a little bit more labor, I feel like. And as they come around that wheel and get milked, then they're returning back.
Yeah, you get some efficiencies for the dairy themselves with less people to do, to milk more cows. So you've got some efficiencies there. And the cows do actually seem to enjoy the ride on that carousel, as weird as it is. They step onto a moving platform. They take a ride around it for 7-8 minutes and they exit off of it. And they look forward to it. When they open the gates, they're running up there. So it's a very efficient milking system is what it is.
It's like they get to go to the carnival, I guess, huh?
So 3 times a day. Absolutely.
So give us a size, a sense of scope. Like how big is the circle? How big is the barn? How many animals?
Yeah. So it's an 80 cow rotary. Okay. And then the holding area can hold up to 500 animals. So their groups are built out to that specific size. It also has stalls for 1,000 animals. What's unique about this project is that it was all done within the same facility. For the most part, you see a lot of parlors off the side of a freestyle barn with a small, almost hallway, which they call a breezeway, to that holding area facility and then into the rotary parlor. Because of the way the site laid out and what the vision was that our customer had, the family had, we decided to put the 80 cow rotary, the 500 cow holding area all within the same facility and then run the stalls for 1,000 cows. So Hassenden Farms, when we got there, were milking 1,100. They pushed them through the parlor the first time. They have now doubled their herd to just under 2,000, which is great. And there's a lot of efficiency there. The first time is not always the most fun to push your animals through. So the gentleman, the family told me out there that it took them right around 14 hours to push those 1,100 animals through that rotary parlor for the first time. A typical milking for them was about 7.5 hours, in their old parlor. But right after the first milking, they were down to 2.5 hours. So there's where that efficiency comes in, what Dan was talking about.
Right. So I'm curious, you know, humans are, we're fabulous people, right? But we make mistakes and all of that.
I think you say so, right? I agree. I'm with you, Kathy.
So does milk production go up when a robot milks versus a person? Or do we know that?
There's a lot of different factors in that, Kathy. That's a very good question to ask, but a very tough one to answer as well. Cause there's the thought of, you know, the feed ration, and there's a lot of different components that go into milk production, feed ration, environment of that animal,
ventilation, bedding type, sand beds for solids, rubber mattress. Yeah. So there's all different types that has an effect on it.
But so as part of our process and not having a cookie cutter barn, and this definitely wasn't a cookie cutter barn, we look at, you know, how we create a very good environment first for the animal. And that all goes with manure management, that goes with ventilation, what type of fans that you're going to put in there, what you're trying to achieve for air exchanges and what an air exchange is. You're just trying to get fresh air in, create a negative pressure and push it out to keep that air circulating in there to make it the most inviting environment for an animal. And then as well as that, the stall beds and how they're set up with briskets, non-briskets, deep bedded, all that stuff comes into cow comfort environment. And then other aspects leads to, really maximizing that milk production, I feel like.
Yeah, it boils down to happy cows make milk. And if you put good feed,
I think you stole that from California.
if you put good feed in front of a happy cow, you're going to get milk out of it.
Correct. Yeah.
No, we're going to have a patent problem. I can't use this podcast.
You're going to have to delete this podcast right off the back. Yeah, we apologize for that.
Oh my goodness. I tell you what I'm realizing is I know zero about cows. I thought I did. I'm a farm girl. Man, you're talking briskets and mattresses. There are so many tangents we could go down, but we won't today. But anyway.
It's unreal.
We could get you into the weeds fairly quickly.
I would guess.
You know, that's part of the conversations and the enjoyment of this job is creating that environment and trying to do new things and create new opportunities for the farmer to maximize production, maximize efficiency, and maximize profits. Because we become partners in it then as well. Because it's, again, it's not only their name on the farm, but it's our name on the building. And when they speak of their facility to future farmers, and when we speak about it, we want them to speak highly of it.
Again, that true partnership.
Yep.
Yep. Absolutely. Everybody wins, right? It's a cliche,
exactly.
But it's a cliche for a reason. So a lot of truth.
Exactly.
So, okay. So how long you talked about it being, was it 18 month from like the first meeting to completion, or was it 18 month of design and then construction? Walk us through kind of your schedule.
It was about a year and a half of design and planning. And it's not just planning meetings, but from our initial conversation, we really like to go out there, and talk through, like I said, really understand what the farmer's goals and objectives are, what their history is, what they're trying to do in the future. So it really started 18 months ago with that initial, I call it a fact find, or that initial meeting out there. From there, it took a minute for the finances to come in. Then you look for that commitment to your builder. While we're doing that, we're touring different farms and trying to create a list. I call them non-negotiables. For their facility. And those are, it doesn't matter if the budget is high or not. Those are not getting cut from your facility. You got negotiables and non-negotiables. So through that process, as they get comfortable, we're trying to create the vision by creating, you know, a couple different lists, like I just discussed. And then, from there, the contract was completed. So it was an 18-month planning process and then about a 9-month construction process, which we, knock on wood, This doesn't always happen, but we got really good weather and a lot of good help up there. And if Scott and Kevin pass it and listen to it, we had a really nice excavator too, because they did it themselves.
Oh, there you go. That is teamwork. So, you know, it's really interesting, Jason, you just mentioned negotiables and non-negotiables, you know, when you're in the selling and the design process. I think that's I think that's a really great idea that hopefully our listeners can integrate, right? Because it's easy to design the Taj Mahal and then you can't afford that, or it's not in your budget, and then it's painful, right, to take those pieces off. But I love that you have them from the beginning say, don't touch this, you know, this is on the table. I think that's really a cool.
Yeah, as you work through the process, there's a lot of outside factors that we can't control, right? So you got your financial piece of it, which you just touched on, Kathy, which is, you know, yeah, we could all say we want to build this $2.5 million complex, but the bank might say, yeah, no, you're going to do it for 2.2.
Right.
So with that, it's us just trying to help the customer navigate those conversations. And through that, the negotiables and non-negotiables that I use is like, all right, guys, we talked about these pieces. This is to your core for your management and your cow comfort. We're not touching these, but what do you feel about setting maybe this up for the future? This was a negotiable piece of it, or setting this up for the future, and really trying to not take things back, but try to find different ways to get them to that point where it financially makes sense and then also makes sense for them management wise.
Yeah, there's so many
into a corner.
So many decisions that need to be made in this process. It's unbelievable. It's nonstop. We're almost relentless in going through this, because we know that we have to cross all of these off the list, take a left and take a right. But what it does is it creates a framework for us to follow by. Hey, this is foundational for you. You need this. These are non-negotiables. Yeah. And then from there, we can continue to bring the ideas around that and add to them and make it the best that it can possibly be.
All these pieces come back to just, again, like I'm a broken record, I apologize, but just helping them create that vision and then trying to sell them on a process that's going to get them to milking or being in that facility.
Yep. It's no wonder that you build such trust with your customers and obviously a partnership. So kudos. Okay, so project's beautiful. I assume owners in love. Cows are happy.
I'm a bad judge of this because it was our project. And when I say our project, the Fox Cities Builders project, I was a salesperson on it. But I'm biased to the fact that I think this is my favorite project that we've done over the course of the last 3 years. But I know Dan has other projects and other customers that he's worked with.
They're like children. And love them all.
Yeah. I still have a favorite, though. Don't tell my two kids at home, but one of them's my favorite. I'm just kidding. But no, it's just from start to finish. And it's not even the actual architectural look of the building. It's not the way that, that everything came together, which is part of it. But it was really, I got to enjoy the process with a really cool family. And we helped them get away from an exhausted parlor in their old barn and really changed their future with them. And going through that process, not only externally with that family, but internally with our folks here, Dan and I spent a lot of time together, just trying to find solutions to problems, doing cost analysis for different roof pitches, because it's really a 500 by 500 foot box. So we had to look at a couple different things. We turned the ridge on the building, for easier access to expand in the future so they can add cow groups easily. But with that being said, all of our different bays were different lengths. So we had to go through, with different lengths of different bays, you're going to have different materials. So we wanted to create some continuity in the materials. So just working through that process with, our internal folks, as a team, and then our external folks, the dairy dealer, the electrician, the plumber, there's a lot of pieces that have to come together to have success in a project of that magnitude. So that's really the piece of it that I feel like was a success. The building is almost secondary to that, because if we have success in the process and the vision, the building will come. And then the partnership will come. So,
and setting up for the future is a big element. Listening to them on the front side, understanding the size of that rotary, what's going to be the max capacity. We're going to make sure we have enough space to build out and have ease of build outs. And that's really what that project shines in.
Yeah, a lot of commercial and ag builders and or customers in general, right? Don't think about that future expansion. It's today. Yeah, I need this.
Yeah, we're all guilty of it. I mean, in your home when you build a house or anything, it's good to get somebody else's perspective and really listen to them and cycle through it and keep what makes sense and get rid of the rest.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's a fabulous project. Any challenges that popped up? We talked earlier. Construction's messy.
Absolutely perfect, Kathy. Nothing went wrong. Weather was perfect.
I did hear the weather. I heard the excavation was good. Yeah.
There was a couple minor things, and as a team, we got a chance to work through them, not only with us, but the family and the other subcontractors. So you're always going to have challenges. It's, again, going back to how you address those challenges throughout. There wasn't any major challenges with that project. And then them milking from May till now, they're adding animals, and it's going fairly well. It was unique to this family as well, because I'll give you an example, one of many. They never used a vac truck before, so this facility is set up for a manure vacuum truck. So they go down the litter alleys, and really you're sucking up that manure and then hauling it out of your facility. So there were some challenges with us setting up that barn, so they had ample space to maneuver with equipment like that as well. So, but the fun aspect of it is, Nothing is ever unachievable in regards to a facility like this. We just have to look at the best scenarios and run through those with the customer. So I know that's a very salesman type answer for you, Kathy. I apologize, but I can't help myself. You're always going to have challenges. And that's just the reality of construction. And I think we pride ourselves on how we handle those challenges, from our salespeople to our superintendents. Even as salespeople, we don't leave that project. That contract gets signed. We're still out there supporting our customers while we're out trying to find new business. So it's not a sign the contract and forget it on the salesman aspect of it. Mm-hmm. I love and trust our superintendents. They are phenomenal people. They are smart at what they do. But sometimes it's nice to get a different perspective, like Dan said, and we come in to help support them. So you're always going to have challenges.
Yeah, all in all, I think it was a pretty smooth project by the grand scheme judgment of things. It moved along nicely.
I've been waiting for my boss to say that for a while, so I appreciate you setting up for that, Kathy. Thank you.
You're welcome. Now you can send me to $20 now.
Just I so appreciate that. Yeah, thank you.
That $20 has gone full circle. Mm-hmm. With this.
Yes.
Yeah, it was totally worth the investment.
All right, so it sounds like a fabulous project. Anything else on the horizon that's exciting coming at you guys?
Yeah, we're setting up for a very busy 2026, which is always exciting. We've been busy since I've been here, and I know Dan's been here a little bit longer. But we are setting ourselves up for a very nice 2026. It's nice that that in the farming community, there's a lot of growth that shows that there's a lot of growth and there's a lot of new technologies coming out. And it's going to challenge us, which is the fun part again of our job, is being challenged and finding those solutions to those challenges and the new technology and whatnot. So, we're already booking projects for 2026. And it's been strong.
Yeah. Those rotary projects that we were speaking to earlier, a lot of them going up. So we've got quite a few this year, and next year looks to be about the same. So that kind of seems like the hot thing right now.
Awesome. So I had, you know, for a long time, right? Harvard, Illinois was the milk capital of the world, Wisconsin. And then we lost that to California, right? Is it coming back to Wisconsin?
We'll see.
We're hoping.
If we have our way, yeah, it will be.
We'll exactly.
Yes. We're going to do, how about this, Kathy? We'll do our part and continue to construct these facilities to try to bring that crown back.
One by one. There you go.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, if our listeners want to find out more about you guys or about Fox City Builders, how can they do that?
Sure. You can go to our website, foxcitiesbuilders.com, or you can check us out on our socials. Our marketing team does a phenomenal job keeping our, not only our clients, but our potential clients in the community well informed in the projects that are going on right now with great footage and great updates. So check out our socials if you want to. I know there's a lot of different visuals and updates with the Passions project that we talked about on our Facebook page. But that's really, yeah, that's where you're going to get the information. So
yeah, some worthwhile follows there, even if you don't, you're not a dairy person, just outside the industry, just to keep an eye on some cool things that are happening with, building projects.
Absolutely. And I want to, you know, be sure to point out too, we focused on a dairy project today, but you guys do a lot beyond that. All right, guys. Well, thank you very much for joining our show today. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks, Kathy. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to the Building with Metal podcast, presented by McElroy Metal. To stay up to date with our latest episodes, be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Visit us online at www.mcelroymetal.com for more info and products. Until next time, keep building with metal.